Good afternoon. I think we have a quorum. So if I'd ask the city council to grab their seats. Two, four, six, eight, nine. I think we do. Good afternoon. And I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Thank you all for coming down to wonderful Cleveland Riley. We will first have an invocation and then led the pledge by Mr. Callahan, our invocator this morning, and just heard him pray at the Dallas Police Memorial Service, which was done first-class manner. Please, City Manager, pass on my compliments to John Fortune and the Chief. I thought it was just a wonderful ceremony. Dr. Taylor has served in the ministry for over 45 years. He's 40 years as a pastor. He has served two terms, a total of 13 years as a Dallas police chaplain, from 2001 to 2007, and then from 2012 to 2019. He is currently serving as the church as a deacon in First Baptist Church here in Siegelville, Texas, in the neighborhood. And he attended Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and holds a Bachelor of Bible, a Master of Divinity, and Doctor of Ministry degrees from Lake Charles Bible College. He currently resides in Siegelville and has lived in North Texas for over 40 years. Thank you so much, Dr. Taylor, for being here. All rise for the invocation.
Well, Mayor Rawlings and ladies and gentlemen of the City Council, thank you for allowing me to be here today. I appreciate so much all of you being at the police memorial this morning, so let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the blessings of this day. We are thankful for the rain that you have blessed with us, but we'll be just as grateful as it moves on out of our area today. But we trust that you will give us all that we need. We pray today that you will bless everyone here at this meeting and the endeavors of making this city a wonderful place for all of us to live. May hope abound in our hearts, and may we experience not only prosperity but unity and enjoy equal opportunity to serve the common good by finding common ground. May all who serve this city do so with integrity, honesty, and resolve to meet the needs of everyone who is a part of our community. May the love of God abound in all that we do for our neighbors. May we respond to each other with respect and honor even when we disagree. May we understand that you have numbered all of our days upon this earth, and so help us to make the best of every day, whether it is our first or whether it is our last. May we make a positive impact on all we encounter. Guide all that is done in this meeting today and guide each of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Please place the U.S. flag, please, and join in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and we are glad to be on our tour to different parts of our city, holding our city council meetings outside of City Hall. Thank you again to our city manager and his staff for making this happen. It's a lot of work. But we are in District 8, and wonderful District 8. Mr. Atkins, thank you for having us.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming to Cleburne. We are not in another state. We are still in the state of Dallas. So make sure that's clear.
Dallas County.
But I'm sorry for the rain, but with the intention to be here. This is the most southeast of my district. My district is 56 square miles. It goes from here all the way to Duncanville. So you understand that we do need more in our fair share. I'd like to thank Rick Callahan, my partner to the east of me, and also Kevin Feller, you know, my other partner that share this district. Cleburne Riley, this is our new convention center, as you know. We use it for family reunions, you know, the children, the child care, all the ministers here. We do need you to understand what is Cleburne all about. One thing people do not understand is that, what is Cleburne? Is it in Dallas? Yes, it is in Dallas. That's number one. Number two, do they feel like a stepchild? Yes, they do feel like a stepchild. We do feel like one because we feel like the city is not taking care of our streets, our coal issues, and the thing, the quality of life. And for you to and thank TC for bringing this out here and thank the council to come to Cleburne. So you see the amenities and the things that we do need here. We do need help. Back to case of equality and equity, we do need more equity and quality here in Cleburne. And I thank the council with a long drive, looking at the streets and looking at the things that we can be better. We can have economic growth out here, but this is a start. I just want to thank you for coming. I want to thank the police department to make sure Cleburne is safe, and also TC your staff, each and every one of your staff, to understand that we do need help. Again, thank you, Mayor, for letting me speak about Cleburne Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. I also want to recognize three special guests. If you can come to the podium. I have found out that the Office of Environmental Quality and Sustainability have a wonderful relationship with ICMA, Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative. And we host these folks every year, three professional fellows in the office. And so I want to thank them for doing that and welcome three individuals, Manur Mushad, Christine Goh, and Jai Owanya. And they are from Brunei, Indonesia, and Thailand. And it shows you the international makeup of our city staff and the impact we have from a global standpoint. They participate in the International City Management Association's Young Southeast Asian Leadership Initiative. Welcome to our city council meeting, and thank you for coming to Dallas. Thank you. Thank you. With that, Ms. Johnson, we'll take up our speakers.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Your first five speakers will be Syl Benison, Cedric Robinson, Christopher Graham, Omar Jimenez, and Elizabeth Haley. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time at the monitor in front of you. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings only. Also, if you have any handouts, you can go ahead and hand it to the officer to my left and your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker, Syl Benison. Syl Benison, not present. Cedric Robinson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In 1978, Cleburne was annexed to the city of Dallas. City of Dallas, you have had 41 years to do right by the community. 85% of your trailer parks are low-income housing. And are right here in Cleburne. These trailer parks are poorly kept, not regulated by code, and you do not offer any programs to assist with the repair, replacement, and deoperated trailers. You continue to issue permits to developers who are coming in this community, building starter homes with no brick, little landscaping. They use substandard building materials, and you've destroyed our trees to make way for the starter home developments. We have enough poor and working class people here already in Cleburne. We do not need any more. Due to zoning failures, you've allowed 7 dollar stores to open on the same block within a square mile from one another in a community so small that we only have one traffic light at the intersection. We now have 3 Dollar Generals, 2 Family Dollars, and 2 privately owned dollar stores on the same block. Here's what we need for you to help us out with in Cleburne. Revise the current zoning in Cleburne as it allows dollar stores to build and open without coming before the plan and a commission. We have 7 dollar stores on one block. Delegate community development block grant money to this community. Have your housing policy task force perform a study on the effects of having 85% of the city's trailer parks in this area and how we can correct this problem. Partner with Habitat for Humanity to offer people in this community better housing. That's something that we desperately need. Set some comprehensive housing policies in Cleburne. Identify Cleburne as a neighborhood plus target area. Have economic development work to market this community to developers. We need a grocery store. We need a pharmacy. And it would be very great to have a credit union in Cleburne. Deny permitting to any developer that wants to bring apartments here. Our apartments are in the form of trailers, and we do have enough. Stop allowing businesses to build office space out of 100% sheet metal. These buildings are unsightly and look like storage sheds. Work with TxDOT to repair 175 in Beltline. It's a mess. We want to plant trees in our medians. We would like to take advantage of the city's momentum in urban reforestation programs, but we were denied for the program. Cleburne is a City of Dallas gem because it offers country living in the city, and we want to maintain that bedroom community feel. City of Dallas, you are allowing this community to be destroyed. We do not want to become the next crime-ridden, undesirable place to live in Dallas. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Christopher Graham.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Christopher Graham. I've been a resident for 19 years in Southeast Dallas. All three of my kids began elementary school at Urban Park. All three have graduated in the past few years from DISD high schools. Science and engineering magnet at Townview, education and social services magnet at Townview, and the environmental science magnet here at Segaville High. The last 9 years, I've been on faculty at Criswell College and am now the Vice President of Academic Affairs at the college. Since the year 2000, I have driven, biked, and run the 5.1 miles from Criswell College to my house at least 10,000 times. On one of my runs home several months ago, I noticed that something was missing. That something was the constant fear that comes with stray dogs attacking me. I realized at that point that I had not encountered a stray dog in my neighborhood or on my run home for some time, and I want to express my appreciation to you, to your predecessors, and especially to the city staff who are responsible for overseeing and carrying out animal control measures that are making my route home and my neighborhood safer. In preparing for my remarks this morning, I also was alerted to the fact that 19 years ago, I would have never expected to deal with Byron Nelson golf traffic entering Fair Park as I did this morning, or the hordes of folks piling into Fair Park for Jambalaya last week. Again, thank you for the work in encouraging development of events in this area of Dallas. What has prompted me to be here this afternoon, however, is the resolution to another problem. As I was leaving the college last month, I witnessed and then helped with a car accident at the corner of North Hill and Junius Streets. In one vehicle was a man leaving the hospital having attended to his wife who had been in surgery. Also in his vehicle was his elderly mother-in-law. In the other vehicle was a pregnant woman who was leaving the obstetrician and heading for her son's elementary school. As anyone in that area can attest, that has been a notorious intersection for accidents, in large part because of the lack of appropriate traffic signage. This week, crews have put up stop signs, making that an all-way stop. Again, I just want to say thank you, especially to Councilmember Medrano, inasmuch as he and his staff had any part in that, as well as any city employees, for responding to the concerns of those of us in that area about this corner. Thank you for your work in making our town safer and more vital. Thank you.
Thank you.
Omar Jimenez.
Mayor Rawlings, members of the council, my name is Omar Jimenez, and I just want to say for my personal experience, thank you for coming out to Cleburne. I know I have visited many of your districts as well, so I just wanted to come here and extend my personal remarks to say welcome and thank you for coming out to Cleburne and thank you for coming out to the community to see what Cleburne is all about, because as the last speaker mentioned, we are the stepchild of the city, and so we hope that the council members have the opportunity to listen to the other concerns that the other speakers will bring up and also get to look and see what this area is all about. So again, welcome to Cleburne and thank you for coming out here this afternoon on this rainy day.
Thank you. Thank
Elizabeth
you.
Haley? Elizabeth Haley? Not present. Cynthia Smith? Cynthia Smith? Not present. Wilson Asu?
Good morning, CD. Thank you for giving me the privilege to...
Can you put the mic kind of a little close to your mouth and speak up a little louder? It's, the acoustics are not great in here.
Thank you. Thank you, CD, for giving me the opportunity to stand for you. I'm an inventor. I came to present... I'm looking for sponsors. I came to present a product...
Folks are saying they still can't hear, so if you can just speak, just project a little bit. Thank you.
Okay. I came to present a product... The product is a security dash camera for police officers. What it does is able to detect non-toxic and products. It detects chemicals, the products that are non-toxic or non-toxic, dust or non-dust. Is able to. It has a backup for police officers. That way, when they go for a raid, they'll be able to see what is coming behind them. I also have civilians. It helps civilians in the sense that when they call 911, the dispatcher is able to see them. They has a privacy. They can be able to open it, or if they have to protect their privacy, they can be able to see them from wherever the range they are. So it goes around, and it's a 360 viewing, and it's able to store my information within eight hours of duty and an extra 2 hours. And they cannot mute the cameras anymore. That way everything is being taken, all what they're doing for that 8 hours is taken, and it's stored back in the office. It's just my first time to be here, and I have some hangouts to give to you guys. If you're ready, I can give it to you so that you can see what I'm talking about. Maybe if you have any follow-up questions, you can give me a call whenever the time is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dorian Bryant, not present. This concludes your open microphone speakers, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to your voting agenda.
Thank you.
Agenda item 1 is approval of minutes of the April 24, 2019 City Council meeting. This item has been corrected. The correction should reflect agenda item 47 was reflected to show that the item received a record vote of 8-7 and it was not unanimously deferred. Thank you, Councilmember Grayson, for that. The correction has been distributed to you.
Move approval for those changes.
Second. A motion and second. Any other changes or discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll now move to your consent agenda.
I should say, just to remind everybody, the way we're working this, show of hands if you want to talk. They will see you and put it up here, and I'll read out. We'll be doing it. Wave right back here. Thank you. Okay? So if you right back this way, Ricky, back in this corner. Okay, we got somebody
got
back there.
Too.
We got it's like an auction. Okay? All right, good. Go ahead, Ms. Johnson.
Thank you. We'll now move to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 20. There was no addendum consent agenda items. Agenda item 8 is being pulled by Councilmember Kleinman. Agenda item 18 was deleted on the addendum. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2 through 7, 9 through 17, and agenda items 19 and 20.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 8, consent agenda item 8, is an ordinance amending Chapter 19, Health and Sanitation of the Dallas City Code by adding Section 19-38, requiring at least one safe, sanitary, and convenient diaper-changing accommodation in publicly available and accessible restrooms in city-owned buildings and structures containing certain restaurant and retail uses. This item was pulled by Councilmember Kleinman.
Ms. Grayson.
Move approval.
Second. We got a motion and a second. Discussions? Do I see anybody? Ms. Kleinman?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think this is an interesting item. So now Dallas is going to have its own bathroom bill, and I do not understand why we just keep going through this obsession with people's toiletry habits. But nevertheless, I guess we think it's important to impose on new entrepreneurial businesses in the city of Dallas yet another regulation. I think the fact of the matter is if someone doesn't have a changing table in their bathroom, maybe they don't want infants there. So if you go to a bar in Deep Ellum or in Uptown and you have to change your kid on the table or the floor, maybe you ought to think about maybe that's not the appropriate person for a child. I raised a couple of kids. They survived without changing tables. I know a couple of council members here don't have children, but really we got to impose this on our business. It's just another silly regulation that really does nobody any good. I do have some questions for staff. I notice this item is listed as no fiscal consideration for this. Oh, the financial consideration for the city was zero. How is that possible?
Good afternoon. Chris Zwecker, Director of Sustainable Development and Construction. So, Mr. Kleinman, the enforcement plan for this is there would be no proactive enforcement. We wouldn't go out and look at facilities to make sure these are installed. Any response would be complaint-based and handled by code compliance. On the building side, we would simply put this on our checklist of things that we already look at from Chapter 19, the Health and Sanitation Code, to ensure those facilities have in place and on their plans. So it would be just another box that we look at.
So we're not going to enforce this.
It will be enforced. We will check their plans.
Why does enforcement not cost any money in the city?
So it's just a matter of checking it on the plans, which we already do, other aspects of Chapter 19 as well as Chapter 51A, et cetera, to make sure those plans include the changing table on their design plans.
Right.
I'm saying proactive after the fact. We wouldn't go out and check to make sure those are there.
But for the fact that we have this ordinance, would someone have to go through the task of checking that it's on the plans?
No.
So someone has to do something extra they're not doing before?
Correct.
So how is that not a cost to the city?
Because it's a part of the plan review. There's a whole bunch of things they have to check.
Well, I realize that. So now there's just yet another one. Anyway, I know colleagues that it's a great thing to stand around here and say we voted for this, we voted for that. But I can't support this kind of nonsense where we're imposing these things on the businesses in the city, especially on the small businesses that are trying to get entrepreneurs going in the city, and just another cost. We have enough complaints about going down to Jefferson anyhow. And this is just another thing to get in the way of someone trying to open a business in our city, and I just don't appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. They thought you raised your hand. Okay, Ms. Grayson did not raise her hand. Mr. McGue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think this is a heartfelt, nice idea, a good thought. But I agree with Mr. Kleinman. I don't think we need to add this regulation. I won't support it. I've changed my kids on floors and car seats. In fact, we had a good friend that we were taking care of their baby this weekend. I have to change babies in a lot of different places. And quite frankly, if some of these changing tables are way more dirty than other options we have in other places, and I just think it's a while it's very well intended, I think it's, it's trying to support families, and especially in this case, I heard some folks reach out about dads particularly, because a lot of times we have a little harder in that situation, but I think it's totally unwarranted and will not be supporting it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor.
I will be supporting this. I believe it's warranted. It's very good for everyone in the city of Dallas. Particularly, we want to be a family-friendly city. This will help us do that. And it's particularly good for men's restrooms, too, where oftentimes there are not changing tables. Certainly, you don't want to be left in the situation where many of us around this horseshoe have been, where you're changing babies on restroom floors or next to sinks or something like this. So I think this is very warranted, and this is a very small ask, particularly for, this is for new construction and major remodels. And so in the interest, I know, Councilmember Kleinman, perhaps with grandchildren in the future, it could help you out and make life a little bit easier, make it easier for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, it's, to me, another gesture to stack on responsibilities of local businesses. And I would just, if that's a problem for the patron, I would just not patronize those facilities. I think most of the upper-end businesses have an offer, you know, diaper changing tables. But, again, we got by my entire life. You can just go out to your car or you can take care of that issue other places. But we impose on our businesses property taxes, and then we have sales taxes, and we have the awning tax, you know, if you want to have a sidewalk cafe. It's just one thing after another that we keep imposing more and more fees. Again, if it's make it voluntary, encourage them, maybe even give them extra points on scoring, but enough, please. You know, let's lay off a business a while, let them make a profit. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Grayson.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to tell my colleagues that when this was first presented, it was every bathroom on every floor of a business in every building, and we pared it way, way, way back to say if you just have at least one of them with signage in any other restroom directing people to the restroom that has the changing table. So I just wanted to let you all know that this was a whole lot more ambitious to begin with, and we did pare it back. And I'm not sure what they cost, Mr. Griggs. I think they're not too expensive. What does it cost?
Ms. Griggs?
Oh, the price offhand?
Yeah.
I think, of course, the price ranges, but I think you'd probably get a very nice one for $150, $200.
Maybe $150, $200. Okay.
$129.99
with free shipping. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Atkins.
And you have to pay someone. I guess, how do we enforce this? I mean, I know you speak to Ms. Kleinman about enforcement. I know that most restaurants, when you go in to most restaurants, they go in and say, we check every hour to make sure the restaurant is clean, whatever. How do we make sure that this is clean? Is there a fine if they do not have it? Is it just enforcement of what? I mean,
so there is no requirement to keep it clean within the proposed amendments here. I mean, keeping a restaurant clean would fall under the Consumer Health Division of Code Compliance. This is simply ensuring that they have the facilities, the accommodation available for patrons. So how we would enforce it is whenever they bring in plans for either a new facility or a remodeled facility, including the restrooms, we would check to make sure they have the diaper changing table as part of their plans.
So it's not part of cleaning, it's not part of
no,
nothing like that. And it just require all new establishment, old establishment, what is requirement, you know. I guess I'm, can I speak to Ms. Grayson?
Please.
I mean, do it mean every new establishment got to have a change facility, every restaurant? I mean, how do we make sure who should have one, who should not have one? It's not so, is they penalized? I mean,
Mr. Atkins, that is defined in the ordinance in terms of what uses are required to have them. It's primarily retail uses, so retail stores, theaters, restaurants, public-facing facilities.
So that's everybody.
It's not office complexes. It's not apartment buildings. There's a lot of building types out there that are not required to have.
So these. I can say every restaurant, every hotel.
But only new construction new as of if the council passes it today.
Every new construction coming up, got to get a permit to make sure they have one.
And major renovation.
And major renovation.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just follow up with one question I had while you're on the subject. if this is a nightclub, and it's a new nightclub, so we got to put changing tables in nightclubs?
There is currently not an exemption. I mean, it's a nightclub is not a restaurant. If it's a restaurant that serves alcohol, they would be required to. If it's simply
but
a nightclub,
not a
it would
nightclub
not.
That doesn't serve food.
Correct.
How about appetizers?
That would be a restaurant. They would have to have a restaurant license.
So as long as they don't serve food, they don't have to do that.
Correct.
Thank you. Mr. Modrano hasn't spoken.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to be supporting it. I think it's great. We want to be a family-friendly city. And listening to everyone speak, I thought this would just go on and pass easily without having all this discussion. But I think we want to have a better Dallas. Back in the day, we didn't have car seats or seat belts either, so I don't think we have to stay that way. So we're trying to improve it for the parents. And also, I'm getting it from a lot of dads that emailed me, actually, and texted me that they wanted me to support this. So thank you.
Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you. Chris, what department are you director of?
Sustainable Development and Construction.
And which committee does that work come through?
It varies depending on the type of work that we're doing, the ordinance amendment that we're doing. So we can.
So the committee that's Mobility Solutions, Infrastructure, and Sustainable Development would not have needed to see this item?
Not necessarily.
No, it's a change to the code. No.
It is. We've gone to quality of life. We've gone to many different, depending on the subject matter of what it is.
Well, I'd just like to make a motion to remand it back to MSIS.
Motion fails for lack of a second. Okay. We'll take up this item. Please call roll call.
Thank you. Please say yes if you're in favor of the item or no if you're opposed. Mayor Rawlings?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Thomas? Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Modrano?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
No.
Councilmember Callahan?
No.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Felder?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins? Councilmember Clayton?
Yes.
Councilmember McGue?
No.
Councilmember Kleinman?
No.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Gates is absent. Councilmember Kingston?
Yes.
With 10 voting in favor, 4 opposed, the item passes, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to your individual items for consideration. Agenda item 21, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This afternoon, we do have individual and full council appointments. Nominee for individual appointment to the Board of Adjustment, Damian N. Williams, is being nominated by Councilmember Kingston. Nominees for full council appointment to the Building Inspection Advisory Examining and Appeals Board, Francesco Schaaf is being presented by City Manager Broadnax. Mr. Schaaf meets the HVAC Contractor Commercial Building Special Qualification. To the Employees Retirement Fund Board of Trustees, Henry Talavera, being nominated by Mayor Rawlings, and to the Fire Code Advisory and Appeals Board, John C. Adolph is being presented by City Manager Broadnax. Mr. Adolph meets the Actively Participates in Community Affairs Special Qualification.
Move approval.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 22. Authorize 1, preliminary adoption of the FY 2019-20 HUD Consolidated Plan Budget for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant funds in an estimated amount of $29,896,688 for the following programs in estimated amounts: A, Community Development Block Grant in the amount of $14,697,642. B, Home Investment Partnerships Program in the amount of $5,427,679. C, Emergency Solutions Grant in the amount of $1,256,675. D, Housing Opportunities for Persons with AIDS in the amount of $7,058,692. And E, Estimated Program Income in the amount of $1,456,000. 2, the new 5-year consolidated plan covering the period of FY 2019-20 through FY 2023-24, and 3, a public hearing to be held on May 22, 2019 to receive comments on the proposed use of funds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Thomas.
Move approval.
Second.
The motion is second. Discussion, Mr. McGill.
Yeah, just I think everybody knows that I will be making the amendment, and I'll share it with everybody today. What essentially would take the $713,126 and restore the funding to the community court program. So that will be coming shortly. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
We'll take up a discussion on all those amendments next Wednesday. This is what I understand. So if anybody else has amendments, make sure they're in by Friday, Thursday, by tomorrow, in the day tomorrow. Any other discussion, Mr. Thomas? Did you want to say? Okay. Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I staff a question, please? Hey, good afternoon. Forgive me, I'm having some internet issues. But on, like, the amendment Mr. McGee will make, so, or Adam, you can chime in, too. The amendment that would that just be for fiscal year 2019, or would that be part of the 5-year consolidated plan as part of the fabric moving forward over the 5-year course?
It would be for the 19-20 fiscal year.
Okay,
but
so that
annual.
Okay, so one doesn't build into the entire 5-year period. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 23 is authorize a project partnership agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to complete design and construction of the modified Dallas Floodway Project flood risk management projects as defined in the Water Resources Development Act of 2007 and the 2015 Record of Decision, including associated interior drainage improvements adjacent to the Dallas Floodway levees, and consistent with the balanced vision plan for the Trinity River Corridor project, not to exceed $69,015,000. We do have an individual who has signed up to speak on this item. David Marquez.
Come on down.
You'll be given 3 minutes to speak.
Good afternoon. My name is David Marquez, 4110 West Keith Boulevard in Dallas, Texas, District 3, Mr. Thomas. I'm here today to speak in favor of this. I have some particular reasons for that, and I'd like to go over those, if I might, with you. Please keep in mind, since 2006, we've been moving forward on what I call the Green Path, or these green initiatives. All of you have voted for those at one point or another over the last several years, and we appreciate that very much. This particular item, number 23, is really important because of infrastructure, and I'm going to throw some big numbers at you. In the first place, we're going to be getting a lot of rain lately. But I know a rancher in Ellis County, just south of here, who in one day got 19 inches of rain in a day. South of here, it ran into the Trinity, all went away. But if 19 inches of rain falls in one day north of here or northwest of here, we're really going to have a problem. That water's going to come rushing down the Trinity. And we need to make sure our infrastructure along those floodways is totally solid in its best possible shape. Now, another thing we need to keep in mind is this. Over the next decade, generation, we're going to add 2 billion people to the face of the planet. 2 billion more people, which means there's going to be even more pressure, increased infrastructure. Right now, there's about $50 trillion of infrastructure on the planet. That's going to increase, needing an extra $90 trillion of infrastructure in coming generations. $90 trillion in infrastructure. It's a lot of money. We're going to need $7.7 trillion of that per year for 15 years. That means that the cost of infrastructure is going to go up. It's not going to go down. This project partnership agreement with the Corps allows us to spend money now to act sooner rather than later on improving our floodway and protecting our infrastructure and protect our neighborhoods in areas such as 2 and 6 along that part of the river. So I strongly encourage you today to take these things into account. We're going to add people. The planet's going to add people. there's going to be more demand for more infrastructure, water, communications, transportation, all those forms of infrastructure. And we have those needs here in Dallas. So the opportunity to spend money now and to get this work done now rather than later is an opportunity I encourage you strongly to take. Please vote yes on item 23. It is part of our green initiatives, part of what we call the path forward. Thank you for your time today.
This concludes your speaker on this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second. The discussion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, this has been a long time coming, as David clearly illustrated, you know, going back to 2006 and part of our balanced vision, and this is certainly something that's greatly necessary. If you look, and if you're keeping score here at the Council Horseshoe or even at home, it talks about 98 bond funds, and that's 21 years ago, and also talks about 2006 bond funds, that's 13 years ago. This has been needed for a long time. I guess my question to staff would be, why did this take so long? I understand the balanced vision. That goes back into the late 90s, you know, so I'm not sure why it took so long to get there. And certainly construction costs would have been a lot less back then. Material costs would have been a lot less. But, you know, that's been one of our chief complaints since I've been here is, why does it take so long to deploy, you know, bond funds and so forth? And it's just kind of mind-boggling. And while we wait, obviously the price goes higher. Would staff like to come and respond to that after they get through?
Not sure they would like to, but they probably going to.
Would you please come to the microphone?
There we go.
I guess another year or two won't make any difference.
Good afternoon. Sarah Standifer, Assistant Director, Dallas Water Utilities. I also have John Loxley, who is our Chief Programs Officer for all of the supplemental funding for the Southwest region of the Corps of Engineers. To your question, the record of decision related to all of the floodway activities, which included the pump stations, levee raises and flattening, recreation, other components, was not issued until 2015. We had gone through a period of studies, revisits by the community, and then a series of public input meetings in 2009. Our levees were questioned. That was also studied as part of our bigger project. So the fact that we've got this funding now as part of the supplemental bill actually advances us. We don't have to wait for bond programs to make the investment and hope to get a credit in the future or a reimbursement. So this is really an opportunity that you guys had worked on, both as a council and our delegations and the Corps and staff.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
John,
Mark.
Did you want to add anything to that?
Oh, sorry.
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, again, I just think it's time to move on. I recognize we had some setbacks, and I think part of that was the Trinity Parkway and then roads to get to the park and so forth, and also our grand park of the Harold Simmons Park. But, again, time's ticking and everything is going much higher. So I hope we get started straight away. Thank you.
Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This will highly affect the vast majority of Dallas from the top of District 6 all the way down to far south Dallas. And I'm really excited that we're getting to implement this and get this started. Ms. Standifer, if I can ask you a question, how many pump stations will be replaced on the Trinity, and how many will be brand new on the Trinity?
So you will have three new ones as part of this supplemental bill. You will have Trinity Portland, Hampton, and Charlie. You will have a major rehab of the Delta pump station. So the remaining pump stations that we have not yet spent local tax money on is included in this.
So we're going to essentially get four brand new pump stations.
Yes,
which
sir.
Is going to be protecting not just West Dallas and the design district downtown, but all the way down the Trinity corridor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Standifer. This is something that a year ago, March, I had the pleasure under Mr. Kleinman's leadership to go to Congress, and we lobbied for $350 million of money from the Army Corps of Engineers, and we were successful in obtaining those dollars, and that's why we're getting to get started. This past March, so a year later, I got to meet with the Army Corps of Engineers down at one of our pump stations, and they got to go on a tour of all of our pump stations, the Major General, along with all of his team, and really got to start going on the project, and he got to really see what it's going to affect all the way down going south. And I believe we got even more money for another project that's in South Dallas. Ms. Dandifer, if you'll, there's so many, we've been just winning lately here in this area, that if you can add in what was the other dollars that we're going to be receiving.
Yes, sir. As part of this, the next action that we bring forward to you probably in a couple of agendas when we finish the contract is for the Lamar and the Cadillac Heights levies. It's $135 million worth of projects, and the city will just be responsible for real estate and acquisition. And then also, in addition to this, the Lewisville Dam received $150 million, which reduced your overall cost share on that from about $40 million to a total of about 8 to 11 over the next several years. So it's a good thing for Dallas and for everybody here.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, colleagues, please, let's get this going. Let's move this forward. People in West Dallas are tired of flooding, and I know people in far South Dallas are tired of flooding, and we have the opportunity to make this go forward and get going so that we can complete this project. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll now move to Addendum Item 1. Addendum Item 1 is a resolution authorizing a First Amendment to the City Manager Agreement of Employment with City Manager T.C. Broadnax to increase his annual base salary in the amount of $11,850, effective May 8, 2019, not to exceed $11,850, from $395,000 to $406,850.
Mr. Thomas.
Move approval.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? One opposed. Thank you.
We'll now move to Addendum Item 2. Addendum Item 2 is a resolution authorizing an increase in the annual base salary of the City Secretary Billy Ray Johnson in the amount of $7,500, effective May 8, 2019, not to exceed $7,500, from $150,000 to $157,500.
So moved.
Ms. Grayson?
So moved.
Thank you. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum Item 3 is a resolution appointing four associate part-time hearing officers to preside over the City of Dallas's Municipal Court of Record and shall serve until a successor is recommended by the administrative judge and appointed by the City Council.
Thank you, Ms. McGew.
Move approval.
The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum Item 4, an ordinance establishing the judicial salaries for the administrative judge and full-time municipal judges.
Thank you, Ms. McGew.
Move approval.
Second. We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum Item 5, an ordinance denying rates as requested by Atmos Energy Corp, Mid-Tech Division, Atmos, pursuant to its January 15, 2019 Dallas annual rate review filing.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Entertain a motion.
Move approval to deny.
We have a motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'm sorry, opposed. You oppose. We got one. Ms. Arnold is opposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Addendum Item 6 will be held until the afternoon, the second part, the second session of this meeting. We'll now move to Addendum Item 7. Addendum Item 7 authorizes, one, an application for an acceptance of the Click It or Ticket Mobilization Grant in the amount of $84,990 from the Texas Department of Transportation through a grant from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration for a safety belt enforcement initiative for the period May 17, 2019 through June 5, 2019. Second, a city contribution of Federal Insurance Contributions Act cost in the amount of $1,232.36. Three, the establishment of appropriations in the amount of $84,990 in the Click It or Ticket FY19 Mobilization Grant Fund. Four, the receipt and deposit of grant funds in the amount of $84,990 in the Click It or Ticket FY19 Mobilization Grant Fund, and 5, execution of the sub-grant agreement and all terms, conditions, and documents required by the grant agreement.
Thank you, Mr. McGue.
Move approval.
Second. Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes this session of the meeting.
So we can all sit and talk and watch each other. We can leave and come back at 6 o'clock. So that's what we're going to do. Okay? See you back at 6 o'clock. Take our afternoon/evening agenda.
Anybody for
yes, council dinner will be served at 5 for you. Good evening. If I could get the council to grab your seat. Council? Thank you. At 6 o'clock, we will reconvene our city council meeting for May 8th, 2019. Welcome everybody that wasn't here the first half to Cleburne. Here in District 8, Mr. Atkins' district, and he welcomed everybody earlier. It's a great part of our city, a part of our city that a lot of us don't get to come down to, and that's why we're here. With that, we will take up our evening public hearings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Narvaez would like to be recognized on agenda item 30.
Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer the zoning case as the zoning change until June 12, 2019.
The motion is second for a deferral. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your consent zoning docket consisted of only agenda item 24. I'll read that item into the record. Item 24 is a public hearing for it. 1, an ordinance granting an MU-3 mixed-use district, and 2, an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a commercial amusement outside use on a portion on property west of East Technology Boulevard, north of Connector Drive. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the consent zoning item 24? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Ms. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning changes recommended by the City Plan Commission.
The motion is second. Any discussion?
I just wanted to mention that this is Gas Monkey Live, which is up in the northwest Dallas portion of District 6, which is along Technology Boulevard and Connector. They were already doing the outdoor entertainment, and so we're just getting them in compliance, and actually we're getting an even better deal out of the situation because of it. And in this area, just so you all know how it's starting to grow around there, we have a brand new hotel, Holiday Inn, and a brand new restaurant that just recently opened in the last 6 to 8 months called Luna's. So an existing restaurant that moved into the district. So this is a good win for that area and for District 6. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do I have to recuse myself since Richard's got the same last name as mine? It's great. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 25, the public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for IR Industrial Research District uses plus a community resource campus on property south of Regal Row and at the northeast corner of Empress Row and Viceroy Drive.
Thank you. Is the microphone on? It is. All right, so the folks that are speaking, make sure you get close. We had that problem this morning. Acoustics are not great here. I would like to turn the microphone over to Major Rich. And I have compromised, and I'm giving you 16 minutes, team, okay? So everybody says they can do it with the speakers that are out there. Please, when you come to the mic, give us your name and your address. 16, 16, not 60. Okay? 16.
And
major.
This, and this group is four, correct?
What's that?
Four, the CPC
this
recommendation.
Is this is four. Yes.
Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. We're very excited tonight to present our project for a social research, campus research center to address the issues of homelessness in our city. We believe this center, once developed, will put Dallas as a leader in the nation in terms of its solution to homelessness. It will also serve as a cornerstone for a region-wide North Texas approach to homelessness. So we're very excited that you'll hear this case tonight. Thank you so much.
Good evening. My name is Blake Fetterman. My address is 5302 Harry Hines Boulevard. Thank you for giving us your time this evening. We want to spend a few minutes talking with you about homelessness in our community. What we know is homelessness is rising at alarming rates, and that is particularly true for our unsheltered population, where we have seen a 300% rise in the last 5 years. This is a direct result of not having enough shelter capacity, as well as the lack of affordable housing in our community. As a city, we have taken great care to study this issue and have identified critical solutions that will help us to both prevent and end homelessness in the city of Dallas. These studies consistently recommend that we employ holistic solutions that include temporary sheltering and affordable housing, as well as robust services such as medical, behavioral health care, vocational training, and child care. The Salvation Army is planning to invest $95 million in private funds to implement these solutions that have been identified by the city. We've identified a 20-acre piece of property in Northwest Dallas at 35 and Regal Row that creates the geographic diversity needed to deconcentrate services out of downtown Dallas. This new campus is designed to shelter 600 men, women, and children each night, which represents a 30% increase in temporary shelter beds compared to what we're able to do today. It also allows us to quadruple the space for families, and it allows us to offer day sheltering to people who are enrolled in our programs. We also get to provide all of those robust services I just mentioned through the help of some amazing community partners. Lastly, we're investing in permanent supportive housing. 100 units will be built just outside our campus for veterans and seniors experiencing homelessness. Bringing a campus such as this to a community not only requires broad community support, but it also involves buy-in from the local stakeholders. And we've worked together with the nearby stakeholders to establish restrictions in our PD, as well as private deed restrictions, to help address any concerns that they may have. Some examples of what we've done are ensuring that we're providing a completely secure campus with a single point of entry, perimeter security 24/7, and an on-site DART bus stop for residents. It's amazing to think that with your yes vote today, what we're going to be able to accomplish. Not only will we be able to offer additional shelter for 660 individuals every single year, but we will also be able to end more than 397 people's homelessness in addition to what we do today every year. I thank you for your time, and I would now like to turn it over to some of our community members who would like to speak.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. I'm John Corzo. I'm the Dallas County District Attorney, and my address is 8185 San Leandro, Dallas, Texas. First of all, I want to agree with everything Ms. Fetterman said. And in fact, the issue of homelessness, as we know, plagues this community. And with homelessness often comes an offense of criminal trespass. Ms. Fetterman and I have spoken about this and spoken about the potential uses of this facility to help us deal with this issue of criminal trespass. And what I would like to see, and she's committed to when built, is that individuals who are charged with criminal trespass in the city of Dallas who don't pose any physical threat to anyone be taken to this facility instead of jail. And that is for the purposes of addressing the homelessness issue with them, obviously, and the mental health, substance abuse. In other words, wraparound services all the way to achieving a home. I am supportive of this. I am supportive of your vote on the neighborhood empowerment zone. I think that we need the jobs. I'm in support of your rezoning. Obviously, the vote that you have taken or will take on this. But even more so than that, I want to tell you what my commitment is to this issue of ending homelessness and dealing with this issue of criminal trespass and whether we're going to continue to take those individuals to jail or provide them with services. I have looked at my budget, and I've looked at monies available to me, discretionary monies, and if the city of Dallas is willing to change its practices and arrest and DART and move appropriate individuals to this facility instead of to the Dallas County Jail, I will write a check from the district attorney's office as seed money for that project for $100,000. So I'm not standing here asking you to do something. I'm telling you I'm an investor. We have to solve these problems, and we have to be responsible towards this community. And continually jailing the mentally ill and the homeless people, to me, is morally wrong, and it's unacceptable. And I'm willing, as I said, to write a check for your efforts if the city is willing to partner with me, partner with our law enforcement, for $100,000 as seed money to get that going. So thank you.
Thank you, District Attorney.
Good evening, Mayor Rawlings and City Council. My name is Priscilla Horn Underwood, and I live at 3804 Maplewood. And I represent my family, who owns three properties close to the proposed Salvation Army site. They are located approximately 385 feet, 750 feet, and 980 feet away. And I, with my family, stand in support of the project. In my opinion, the Salvation Army has worked very hard to meet the requests made by the surrounding property owners. The Salvation Army plan is attractive and will likely enhance our neighborhood, and it will be a vast improvement over the current undeveloped lot that has a perimeter chain link fence that collects debris along the side. With the promised 24/7 security, campus lighting, attractive landscaping, and daily trash pickups, our area will be greatly improved. So the Salvation Army and its board is made up of honorable people who have integrity and stand by their word, so I'm confident that they will uphold the promises they've made to the business neighbors. So full support from me and my family. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Garrett Boone. I live at 3111 Welburn Street. The past 4 years, working with Groundwork Dallas to create recreation areas along the Elm Fork, I have seen firsthand the explosion of homelessness in Northwest Dallas, difficult to see and count as the camps are hidden under overpasses along feeder creeks and forests. Here the homeless are living in hazardous condition next to water polluted by lack of sanitary facilities, subject to dangerous flooding that washes their possessions downstream, littering the forests and river below. That certainly happened today with the rain we had. Our Homeless Solution Department is doing a great job, but they need help from social service agencies in the area. The Salvation Army's Homeless Center is exactly what is needed. It is a transformational project that will address the dire needs of this population. It will provide a full circle of support that will allow homeless there the chance to emerge from homelessness into a new life. My profound thanks to the Salvation Army and their supporters for this transformational gift. I urge an approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boone.
Good evening, Mayor Rawlings and members of the City Council. I'm Margot Perot, and I've been involved with and devoted to the Salvation Army since I joined its advisory board over 35 years ago. During that time, I've come to have a deep respect for this organization and the officers and members who run it. Through its many programs, the Salvation Army not only gives immediate
help to those who are suffering, but they seek long-term solutions. They give help and hope. For over 100 years, this organization has proven effective in Dallas through its many programs throughout the city, its community centers, its rehabilitation centers, its help for victims of violence, the homeless, and others. As the slogan says, they do the most good. The need is great, and as Dallas grows, we need a better and larger social service center. This project is exactly what we need. It is said that the Salvation Army is the most trusted organization in the country. I know that we in Dallas can trust these men and women to do exactly what they say they will do. I know you'll be proud of this new facility, and I urge you all to vote for it.
Thank you.
My name is Richie Butler. Address is 1816 Ruth Street, Dallas 75201. I'm the senior pastor of St. Paul United Methodist Church in downtown Dallas, and I just want to echo what has been stated, but Dallas is a city full of innovative enterprises, technological advancements, economic stability and growth, and all those things are great. But I want to remind us what my mama taught me and still reigns. You will be judged not by how many kings and queens or how you entertain kings and queens, not by what seat you occupy, but you will be judged by how you treat, care for, and serve the left behind and the left out. And I believe Dallas is a place that thinks big and we go big. And so we have gone big in the arts. We have gone big when it comes to sports. We've gone big with bridges and parks. And I believe the Salvation Army Social Service Center plan reflects how we can go big for our most vulnerable residents and family members in our community. And so as a faith leader and a moral leader, I urge you to vote in the affirmative and to demonstrate that we can go big here in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is David Miller. I've been a member of the Salvation Army Advisory Board for roughly a decade. My wife, Carolyn, and I have been heavily involved for quite a few years with a number of nonprofits and agencies in this city, from Goodwill to Genesis, Austin Street to the Senior Source, all doing phenomenal work to serve the needy and underserved in the city. But I can tell you there simply is nothing like the Salvation Army in terms of its reach and its overall impact in meeting the needs of those people that I just referenced. So I just hope we can count on your support. Thank you.
Mayor Rawlings and other council members assembled. My name is Bobby Lyle. I live at 34 Maslin. I live in Councilman Lee Kleinman's district. Thank you very much, Lee. This is a historic day for the city of Dallas. We tend to look at this particular project as something that is Dallas-centric, and it is. But as a member of the Salvation Army Board nationally and locally for over 30 years, I can tell you that this is about to be a national model that we'll see replicated across the country, in my opinion. Dallas is going to be very proud of this moment and the decision that we make this evening. I also come here representing the Boy Scouts, 60,000 kids in the city of Dallas that we work with. I come here representing SMU. I also come as a spokesperson tonight only for Rabbi Stern at Temple Emmanuel, who would have been here had we had more time. We could have absolutely filled this room up with people from all across the city who would have been here to speak in favor of what we're doing. So what you're about to do this evening is absolutely transformational for our city, but it's transformational for our country. So I urge you to vote yes on this proposition. Thank you very much.
Great man.
Good afternoon. My address is 7222 Fair Oaks Avenue. My name is Tammy Finney, and I'm a former substance abuse client at the Salvation Army, as well as a former resident in the homeless shelter. For many years, I battled an addiction that at times left me homeless and attempted suicide, and it ultimately landed me in prison. When I came out of prison, I wanted one chance. I was desperate for one chance to build a completely different life for myself. And the Salvation Army became that one chance. It provided me with the tools and resources necessary for me to come out and be a productive member of society. Today, I'm 6 years clean and sober. I'm a student at Texas A&M Commerce pursuing a bachelor's degree in social work, into which I will graduate in December and start a master's in January. I'm here today because I know there are numerous people out there who are desperate for that one chance to rebuild a completely different life. And with the Salvation Army at its maximum potential capacity right now, those chances are extremely limited. I'm here today in support of the Salvation Army because the Salvation Army didn't just change my life. The Salvation Army saved my life. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for the extra minute. I will be brief and maybe we'll return a few seconds to you. My name is Bernie DiFiore. I live at 7035 Lake Edge Drive, Dallas, and I am the acting current chairman of the board for the Salvation Army. You've just heard why and what we do in helping the homeless throughout the area. And with your continued support, we believe we'll be able to help thousands of others with the same story that you just heard from Tammy. We want to thank you, especially Councilman Navarez and the property owners for their collaboration, for your leadership. And we want to thank you all for your help in meeting the needs of the homeless in the city of Dallas. We're asking tonight that you continue that support by supporting the proposition to the zoning change and to continue to help us do the most good to meet those most in need. Thank you all very much.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion, Mr. Narvaez. You've worked hard on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. One, sidewalks are required around the perimeter. Two, security personnel are required at all times. Office space must be provided for use by security personnel and law enforcement officers. Three, the definition of declared emergency is amended to read, an event during which the governor or mayor has made an official declaration of emergency under Texas Government Code Section 418.014 or Dallas City Code Section 14B-6.
Second.
Thank you. We'll have discussion. Do you want to say something now or do you want to just hold your comments?
I'm ready to speak.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to make sure that everybody knows that this was never a referendum on the Salvation Army or the good works that they do. This was always a job about land use and what is the proper land use for this area. So I want to make sure that people understand and know that. We all can agree that the Salvation Army is an amazing organization that does amazing work, and I applaud them for that. I want to start by thanking the stakeholders, Leobardo and Bruce. If y'all will stand up. Mrs. Underwood spoke earlier, but I want to recognize these two individuals who took the leadership. Thank you, guys, who took the leadership of the group, the property owners, and helped me keep them at the table as we discussed and made these discussions happen, so that we could come up with a good plan, a good deal, to keep the safety and security that was their biggest concern, for them to feel confident and good, as well as to make sure that the Salvation Army would be able to do their work, as they always have, to the best of their ability. I want to thank Blake Fetterman and Major Rich. Major, please stand up, and Blake, stand up. I want y'all to be recognized as well. They also stayed at the table with me. Between all of these folks, I don't know how many phone calls, text messages, emails, late nights, early mornings, mid-afternoon freak-out sessions we probably each had at different moments. You know, I'm not a drinker, but I might have a tequila shot tonight. This was the toughest case I've ever had to deal with on the council, and I hope it's there's not one tougher than this one in my next term. A lot of sleepless nights, a lot of hard work, and keeping people together. But the reason that it was so hard and difficult, colleagues, is because I knew that we had to get this right. We are setting a precedent for our city that will probably last the next 25, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years on how we start to deal with the crisis that's happening in our city, which is called homelessness. We had to get this right because this is going to be the model that I see future organizations using for their future needs, because we know that not very many people, even in this room, would want a homeless shelter in their neighborhood. And we've got to get this right, because one of your districts is next, because we've got to get this right. We have to help our most vulnerable population out there. And I had to make sure that we dotted every I, we crossed every T. We finally met last Friday. I think it was reported for 4.5 hours. And that's not an easy thing to do as a council member who has an election the next day to take out from campaigning in order to get this right. But I was sent to City Hall to do a job, and I wanted to make sure we took care of that. We have private deed restrictions, which will take care of security, making sure that there are different caps on site, that there are no sex offenders, the things that made sure good lighting, the good things that everybody was in agreement with. We just had to figure out how to get it onto paper. And I think that was the hardest part, was figuring out how to get it onto paper. Colleagues, I ask you today to pass this, and I hope it's unanimous, because we are going to be setting a precedent. This is historical for all of us. We're going to get this right. This is not just a win for the city of Dallas. It's not just a win for the Salvation Army. It's not even just a win for the property owners. This is a win for our homeless population. So with that, Mayor, I've got my Salvation Army sticker on. And let's pass this thing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. A little theater. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to add thanks to Omar Narvaez. I think all of us on council have had much contact with Salvation Army, separate apart from this case, and then also in this case, and then the stakeholders. And to bring this in with stakeholder approval and agreement is a testament to leadership. It's really, really good, and it makes our jobs so much easier. It's just this evening is going to be a celebration instead of a contentious debate, and that's wonderful. I also want to add my thanks, because this does deconcentrate the service of our homeless residents and neighbors. We know that concentrating poverty is bad for people suffering poverty, and concentrating homelessness is exceptionally bad for the homeless. I also think that the Salvation Army is developing a new model of homeless services that will replace the shelter model we currently use today, that turns people out during the day and creates many of the quality of life complaints that we get in the concentrated areas where we currently serve the homeless. There is no reason why homeless services will necessarily hurt surrounding properties. They could be a help to surrounding properties. If we are doing the things that we're supposed to do to take care of our residents and our neighbors, who happen in this case to be homeless, then doing those services should be a benefit to the city. It's a necessary service in the city. It must happen somewhere. And done properly, it could be collaborative with neighbors. It could be a boon to the area. And it could be something where we see, as we heard some of the testimony today, lives get changed. Anything that we have to do as a city in order to make sure that that quality of life is improved and that all of us, from whatever walk of life, have a real shot at success, that is not an activity that can be pushed outside of the city of Dallas. It can't be pushed underground. It can't be hidden from our view. It has to be something that is embraced. And I'm so thankful today to see so much more capacity come into this time of serious, serious need. We've seen basically a tripling of homelessness just in the last few years. And so this, I'm very, very proud today and thankful for Mr. Narvaez's work. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
First, I want to thank Major Carmichael. You might not know Major Carmichael, the Salvation Army. Back in 1966, you know, Salvation Army was at 1600s, Pennsylvania, was started with homeless. And many, many years ago, I think when I do my home for the holidays, it came from Salvation Army to make sure that every kid had a place to stay, shelter there. This is great for the day. I also want to thank Sandy Grayson for her committee to bring it to the Economic Development Committee to make sure we understand the social aspect of it. I also want to thank Sarah Dodd and Angela Hunt for both sides working together as one to bring both sides together to make sure that we are trying to make sure homeless go away. But I want to thank this council and all the committees that take a deep breath and say, hey, what are we going to do about it? Do we put our money where our mouth at? Do we vote what we need to do to make sure that we do know we do have a serious problem in the city of Dallas? It's sometimes it's not about money. It's about how do you be a great city. I want to thank Omar, for you to the 4.5 hours last week and many, many other hours that you have spent talking to me. And you said you had it under control. And I believe you did have it under control. You got your stick on right now. But, you know, look around. You see all the red and you see how great we can be as one city when we come together as one. And sometimes we are separated by color, by race. But when you come in a room and say, hey, let us reach our arm out to save anyone. There should be no child left behind, no homeless person left behind. We have the resources in Dallas. I don't know how many billionaires we have in the city of Dallas with a $95 million project. It should be a project of homeless all through the whole city. It should be one in every district because we got homeless here that we know we can do better. We can do a better job. But sometimes it takes a moment like this to bring everybody together and say, hey, we do have it. You know, on our 2017 bond pack, we said $20 million for the homeless. That's not enough money. We're talking about building 100 houses or 1,000 houses, and that's almost $100 million, and we just got $20 million. So how are we going to step up? How are we going to do it? You know, also DART. Also the business people, you know, come together and say, hey, you know, we do know we got a problem, and how can we build a partnership? Mr. Crusoe is still here. DA, could you come to the mic for a second? You know, and I want to thank the DA, and I had a sidebar conversation with him earlier this week, and I know you have some whole lot of example of things that you want to accomplish. In a few words, tell me right now, by listening to this statement and listening to the agenda, what other things that you foresee that we could bring this homeless to the point that will help your office?
Well, first of all, let me just give you a little history. The mayor and I served on the original task force on homelessness, and it resulted in the bridge. And as we have grown as a city, this problem has grown. And as we've heard, the number of homeless people has grown continually. It has far outstripped the city's ability and maybe willingness, I'm not certain, but certainly ability to address the problem. And the jail has become the default location for people who are nuisances, who are mentally ill, who are homeless, who are drug addicted, and that is unacceptable. And so I have had an opportunity to talk with officials from the Salvation Army, especially Blake Fetterman, and to work out a plan. In Houston, there is a dedicated facility where the police take an individual who's arrested for criminal trespass, and that place has wraparound services, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, case managers, rooms, beds, transitional housing opportunities, and that is a much more humane manner to treat these individuals. And I see this facility as my answer to this problem. As you know, controversial, I understand, we have made a decision that we will no longer accept these cases, and this is a perfect opportunity, and that's why I'm here, to invest $100,000 into this, to put some money behind some talk, to help this city move this issue along. And I want to see a day when the Dallas Police and DART and other agencies in this community take homeless individuals to this facility where they can get the help they need, because we do know that this approach, as opposed to jail, will reduce recidivism and cost less to the community, to the county, to the city, in the long run. And I am data-driven. I'm looking at evidence, research that will reduce crime and save money. And this is something that will do it. And that's why I'm coming here today, to let you know that I am willing to partner with this city. I'm willing to partner with this police force. I'm willing to partner with DART to make this a reality.
Thank you, Mr. Crusoe.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mayor Pro Tem Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to first thank Councilmember Omar Narvaez. I know, you know, we try to give deference to council members when they have particular zoning cases in their district, and for you taking the due diligence and the council allowing you to take the due diligence to make the deferrals necessary in order to get where we are and the hard work that you put in. I also want to thank Blake. We had a chance to visit down my district office and saw the big picture. I think Darwin, I see him up there, came with her. Want to thank you for your dedication on this, your commitment to stay in it for the long haul, and all those who participated in this. I also want to thank the mayor. He was a homeless czar. He was, prior to choosing to take on the painstaking challenge of being mayor of the city of Dallas. And so this is kind of a capstone. This is an issue that you started with, that you showed, you know, your passion for this, and here we are, where we're about to do something that's going to be a model, I think, for other districts and potentially other cities across the country. I chair the Human and Social Needs Committee, and also homeless solution reports to direct to our committee. We had a private breakfast. Councilmember Clayton was there. The mayor was unable to attend. And so we invited all the service providers. We also invited members of the faith-based community. And also Monica Harbin. I do want to thank you, Monica, who chairs also homeless solution. And we presented the four tracks that were proposed to address homelessness. Prior to the task force, many people said the city of Dallas does not have a plan to address homelessness. We have a plan now. Three of the tracks have been approved, and we're working on a fourth track. But we made an ask. We asked everyone who was at that meeting, we asked you to make a commitment, to make an investment. The Salvation Army stepped up to the table, stepped up to the plate, and provided this opportunity. Private funding. Haven't asked the city of Dallas for a dime. Just ask that we make the changes necessary in terms of zoning to allow them to be able to have this facility. Little did I know, you know, our district attorney had been a part of these conversations, and now we have something that comprehensively is not going to help individuals who are dealing with a lot of chronic challenges, but individuals who are looking to actually find themselves a home, permanent supportive housing, wraparound services. All of these are necessary in order to help people to get a second chance and get a fresh start. And so I'm glad to see Councilmember Alvarez have his Salvation Army sticker on, and I'm putting my imaginary sticker on, and I'm going to say I'm in 100% support of this. Angela, I know the work that you've done and how you've been, your experience has helped tremendously in order to get this across the finish line. So I want to thank you as well, and all those who've been a part of it. This is a great day in the city of Dallas, and my hope, wish, is that we can pass this unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
I think a lot of the words that I want to say have been said, but I'll try to find some. Everybody played a role in this. When I first heard about this particular zoning issue, it was, it was kind of contentious. And, I think through communication, collaboration, everybody was willing to listen and work together. And that's what made this possible. I have to give kudos to my colleague, Omar Narvaez, for bringing the sides together. That makes all the difference. The winner is the entire city of Dallas. The winner is the homeless population that can now have a place where all services that they need are in one location. I also have to give credit to our district attorney for stepping up to the plate with not words, but with money. All of this makes a difference. NIMBYism, when you talk about homelessness, is everywhere. But when we talk to one another, when we negotiate, this is what can happen. And so I'm very proud of this moment. I'm very proud of the business owners. The business owners had to be willing to negotiate in order for this to happen. And so I want to make sure that I give them credit for what they did, being willing to work with the Salvation Army. The end goal here is about the homeless, not about Salvation Army, not about business owners, but the homeless, and putting them in a campus where they can get shelter, where they can get food, where they can get wraparound services. And so I'm very proud of that today. I'm proud of this city, proud of my colleague, proud of this council. Everybody came together. We need more moments like this. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mayor, and I'll echo some of those same comments. I'm really, really very proud of our council for this, because we've worked really diligently over the past several years to get to some yeses. And I talked to Major Rich on the front end of the show tonight, and he said, they've been working on this 2 years, and understand after we approve it tonight, there's still going to be another 2 years before we get this in place, regrettably. But the good news, ultimately, we're going to have something that we're all going to be proud of. And rather than kicking the can down the road and finger-pointing and name games and all this stuff that we've done, really, we've just hoped that it would go away. Well, folks, guess what? It's not going to go away. But I really appreciate all the work and the collaboration that's gone into this. And I agree, too, when two people are listening, a lot can get done. I think there was a lot of give and take back and forth to get to there. One thing I want to also say, is behind every good major is another good major. And we didn't mention Barbara Rich there. She's another. So if she would stand, thank you. So, John, you did good on that, by the way. So, but both of y'all working in partnership together shows great leadership. And Blake, thank you for your leadership. I've known you, I guess, ever since I've been on council, and I know your passion and commitment and all that stuff. So I want to say thank you to all of you. Wraparound services is real key, real critical here, not just a bed, there, but there, it really shows the mission of the Salvation Army. It is what it is. It's about really saving souls. We're all human beings. We've all got our frailties. We've all got our challenges. But this is a way to put the person back together in every which way, with a counseling and prayer and the medical services, transportation, job training, a place to stay. I can't think enough. Our goal throughout my tenure on the council has been for dispersion away from the central business district. We've got enough of that there. We'd like to see more out-migration. We'd like to see all 14 districts share the load, as well they should. It's not fair for downtown or any one council district to share the majority of the load, so I'm really glad about that. Lastly, I'm going to say I'm jealous because I don't have a sticker. And I tell you, you know, that hurts. It really does. But what I think we should do, Major Rich, is that all of our councils should get a Salvation Army sticker so we can really have that kumbaya moment that the mayor has been talking about. I started to bring my guitar tonight, and that's in the key of G, by the way. But anyway, we'll do that another time. But let's all get stickers, and let's make this be a, can we still say Kodak moment, or is it an iPhone moment now? So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Andrado.
Thank you, Mayor. So the Salvation Army believe in District 2 on Harry Hines. We all know that facility, y'all did great work there. It just wasn't the facility that you needed, and it's going to be now. So, Blake, we've worked well together the last 6 years, and I know we'll continue to do that. I want to thank you, the stakeholders. I saw all this go down, y'all. Y'all know I hang out with Omar all the time. Omar, you're going to be able to have dinner without having to get up and pace back and forth outside the restaurant. I mean, every time it was Omar had to get up, and Salvation Army, right? He goes, yeah, Salvation Army. So I definitely want to thank him for all the work that he did. It's great, and I was able to see it also. Angela and Sarah working with you guys and bringing everybody together. But also, you know, our Office of Homeless Solutions, they're very supportive in trying to make sure that this happens, and as well as the Citizens Homeless Commission. I know I see some folks here today. I know I saw Chad Cruz in the audience. I know I see Tanya Reagan. I think I saw Chase maybe or some others. I don't know who else is here. I can't. I'm missing somebody. But again, thank you, Omar, for getting through this across the finish line. And like I said, you know, District 2 has the most concentration of homelessness in the city. And I've always believed that everyone needs to do their fair share of helping with the homeless. And I don't think this is the last we're going to see of it getting moved around the city. So everybody be prepared for that. And remember this day that we can get to the finish line and everybody can work together to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to say thank you to the Salvation Army for working with the neighbors. And thank you to the neighbors who were never against this project, but they simply had concerns that needed to be addressed. Both sides worked on those concerns, and together with Mr. Narvaez, they brought us this victory today for all involved. And so I just want to say that we appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Thank you very much. I just want to ditto all the comments that I've heard, and what I really classify this model as today is the movement toward cooperative care, and I appreciate the fact that we're working multi-jurisdictionally, and I'm definitely excited about the fact that the district attorney is joining hands with us. And in order to address this issue, we realize we must work with every level of government in order for us to make a dent into this issue. Also want to just underscore the need for support as we move on down the road for our neighborhood Salvation Army resource centers. I have two in my community that we're really pushing to make sure that we address, and even on a smaller scale, some of the issues that you're going to pick up here with this facility, whether it's providing them with shelter, providing them with clothing, whatever the resources can be. I know I want to address those in District 4, so I had to put that for us. Before us. But thank you for coming up with the model of the century. I appreciate it so much. And hats off to Omar, Councilman Omar Narvaez. And I do want to underscore the fact that he has been under a lot of pressure. I think I mentioned the word one day in committee meeting. He said, what? I'm not going to talk about that anymore. And I'm like, what is wrong? What's wrong? So anyway, hats off. Thank you so very much. But thank all of you. And I am going to wear my sticker. I'm trying to put it online. I am letting everyone know in the Twitter sphere, not the Twitter sphere, but the Facebook sphere, that you're here and you're also wearing my Delta Sigma Theta colors, red and white. Thank you.
Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I thought I had the worst sense of, like, Facebook spheres, and you are so uncool. But I love you. I know you do. Anyway, so I think Mr. Medrano made a point that I wanted to say. First of all, I want to thank you, too, Mr. Navarez. It is easy to quarterback somebody else's problem. You know, and there were many times in this process where I was like, well, if it was just me, I would do this. It wasn't just me, and I didn't have to do this. I think you deserve an immense amount of credit. I think to Mr. Medrano's point, the only reason I speak up is I think he makes a great point that we're going to have this conversation next week. And, you know, all the kumbaya that we feel right now, when it comes to being in my district or whomever else's district, we're going to go through the same exact problem again. I think you deserve a lot of credit for being clever to come up with the neighborhood empowerment zones. That's something I never would have thought of, but I think it's a business solution to a social problem. And I think as we move forward in this city, the reality of it is nobody wants it in their backyard. I have it in my backyard right now in District 2, and it is frustrating. And I love those folks. I'm really frustrated when I have to deal with it. And I just think you deserve an immense amount of credit. And I think Angela and Sarah and Blake and everyone who's involved taking a sober look at a very emotional problem. And I think you guys did give us a model moving forward, even in the next week, to be able to put math to a problem that seems to not ever find an answer. So good credit to you, Mr. Navarez.
Thank you. I'll just close by first of all saying, Mr. Narvaez, you're a man of your word. Thank you for that. Second, from a historical standpoint, District Attorney and I, when we did the bridge, we also did a plan that said we needed four centers besides the bridge. I mean, that was the thought then. Put one out west, which we're doing now in other places. And we've got our own plan, but that was the original vision because, Mr. Callahan, you said it, Mr. Medrano, you said it, this cannot be the burden of downtown. It just cannot. We've got to make sure that we have resources like this to be able to help these folks. So I appreciate the Salvation Army and the $95 million that is going to be raised, $95 million. There's a kind of a theory in some cities that the successful kind of secede from the city. They kind of pull out because they've made their money and they don't need to get involved. The fact that you are raising this money to do this without city money, once again, demonstrates one of our greatest strengths as a city. That is, everybody gets involved, whether they have money or not. And I thank you for that ability and that willingness that everybody is going to write a check on this from the bottom of my heart. And I think you'll make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And so with that, I also want to say to folks that have never been to a city council meeting, we never have this good a time around the horseshoe.
That's not true.
First time ever. It's great. So with that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is unanimously carried. So. With that, if everybody can sit down, we have another item. It would take up addendum item 6 from this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Addendum item 6, authorize a resolution, 1, designating approximately 390 acres of property generally bounded by State Highway 183 to the west and Interstate Highway 35E to the east in Dallas, Texas, as City of Dallas Neighborhood Empowerment Zone Number 9, City of Dallas NEZ Number 9, pursuant to Chapter 378 of the Texas Local Government Code, to promote an increase in economic development in the zone, establish the boundaries of the zone, and provide for an effective date, and two, creating a pilot economic development program for City of Dallas NEZ Number 9 to encourage increased economic development in the zone.
Thank you, Mr. Narva. I'm sorry, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll make a motion to move this forward.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, a quiet discussion. This came through economic development, and I hope Mr. Lee Kleiman did understand what we did in economic development, and it was a whole full council committee. And I know he has a concern, but he always has a concern. But with this, this is something going to happen with the Empower Zone. It's something we need. Thank you.
Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What Mr. Clayton was referring to a little bit earlier about the NEZ, which is a neighborhood empowerment zone. I thank you for giving me credit. In all actuality, it was Mr. Leobardo Trevino who brought me an idea, and I want to thank Mr. Mendoza and his team, along with Courtney Pogue, because they are the ones who, when we brought the idea about some type of zone, that they came up with the neighborhood empowerment zone. So I want to give them credit. And for as fast as they put it together, that's usually, this was lightning speed for City Hall. So I thank them for that, because I'm sure while I was dealing with pacing outside of restaurants and my partner asking me why I was getting back on the phone another time for Salvation Army issues, that they were diligently working through this as well. This has everything to do with the Salvation Army zoning case, and at the same time, nothing to do with the Salvation Army zoning case. And when I say that is because of the zoning case, it brought this idea forward. But if you look at the map and when we were briefed during EcoDev and housing, it showed that this zone completely qualifies for this neighborhood empowerment zone. And I see that this is the gateway to Dallas from DFW Airport. This area is 15 minutes away from DFW Airport, and it's also only 5 minutes away from Dallas Love Field. And we have got to do something to take care of this area where we are losing tenants. We are under, we have way too many open spaces in this area when it comes to the office space. It is a very affordable office space. So, you know, we always talk about affordable housing, but we also have to talk about affordable office space and industrial space as well, and this area will be able to grow because of this. And I'm glad that we're going to be proactive as a city, hopefully, and get this neighborhood empowerment zone across the board. And once we do this, we can have a true gateway from DFW Airport into the City of Dallas that everybody can be proud of. I see, because of this neighborhood empowerment zone, Mr. Mayor, I can see zoning changes and just new companies and businesses. And I think I had told this council, or not the council as a whole, but definitely during some of our briefings, that one of our office towers over there had lost, just because of the CPC vote, they had lost a $3 million lease, and that wasn't coming, and they were going to lose another couple million and another $3 million lease of people who were currently there that were going to leave. And because of just the vote that we had on EcoDev the other day, one of those tenants who was ready to leave sent an email today saying, hey, let's talk. They got really excited about the neighborhood empowerment zone. It's 350, 400 jobs that we want to keep here in the City of Dallas and not send to another city. So, colleagues, please, I implore you to let's also do with this one, pass it unanimously, let's get going. I didn't mean for today to be a District 6 fest because I still got more zoning cases to go today. So if we can get this done, I'd greatly appreciate it, and I know this area would as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. Before everybody goes, I want to recognize the people that have been on the front line dealing with a homeless effort. When I read your name, would you stand up? These are the CEOs and the executive directors of the organizations that make this city a human place for our homeless. Paige Flink from the Family Place. David Lopez from Parkland Hospital. Josh Kogan from Outlast Youth. Ellen Magnus from Family Gateway. Carl Falconer from the Metro Dallas Homes Alliance. Daniel Roby from Austin Street. David Woodward, Woodyard from the Catholic Charities. Jay Cole from Crossroads. David Woody from the Bridge. Larry James from City Square. Brenda Seltzer from Stewpot. And Wayne Walker from Our Calling. So I want to say thank you so much to all these people. All right, with this, I bet there's a lot of people that don't want to stay for all Mr. Narvaez's other zoning cases. So here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to take 3 minutes, and we're not going to do work. We're going to all sit here for 3 minutes. So if everybody that doesn't want to stay for the rest, move as quickly without a lot of talk and no chit-chat out the door.
Mayor, could we get a Salvation Army photo maybe? Everybody get there. Maybe with some of the leadership. But
I want to get to keep this going. All right, 3 minutes is up. Mr. Callahan, need you back up. Your item's next. Thank you. All right, thank you all. Thank you. And thank you. Mumble. Thank you. Ms. Johnson, we'll take up the next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now go
back. Please, everybody, please respect everybody. Please. Thank you.
We'll now go back to agenda item 26. Item 26 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1871 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property on the northeast corner of Lake June Road and Holcomb Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have one speaker coming forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Parvez Malik, Business Zoom, 320 Decker, Las Colinas, Texas. I am in support, and I'm the zoning consultant for this case. If there's any questions, I'm standing by. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in the audience that would like to speak in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Agenda item 27, the public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for mixed-use district uses on property on the northwest corner of Eastside Avenue and South Collette Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 76 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 4 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 28 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for LC light commercial subdistrict uses on property on the northwest corner of Cedar Springs Road and Maple Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 98 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 4 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 29 is a public hearing and 1, an ordinance granting a planned development district for GOA, General Office District, and certain non-residential uses, 2, a resolution terminating the existing deed restrictions, and 3, an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a mini warehouse use on property west of Bankway Lane and south of Interstate Highway 635, London B. Johnson Freeway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 27 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and 3 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez.
I move to approve the zoning change, the SUP, and the termination of deed restrictions as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second.
And just.
All right.
What? Man, that one was. I think everybody knows that's my last one for the day. So. Mr. Mayor, if I just may say
please.
Really quickly, this was one that we deferred from 2 weeks ago. I got a message from Ms. Gates. She had asked for the delay, and yesterday, this morning we spoke, and she wanted to thank the applicant for reaching out to the property owners that had some concern, and she said she's good with it, and the property owner was good with it as well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for mixed uses on property on the northwest corner of North Fishue Avenue and Buena Vista Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 289 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 18 replies in favor and 10 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have one speaker coming forward. Please.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Bill Dahlstrom, 2323 Ross Avenue. I'll be brief. I'd like to thank staff and the neighbors who are here in support. We had some neighbors actually come down and support us, and I'd like to thank Mr. Kingston for his time with us and helping make this possible. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Kingston.
Move to approve the City Plan Commission recommendation.
A motion, second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Agenda item 32 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding a city council authorized hearing to amend the Antioch Church sub-district within the West End Historic Sign District on property zone a CA-2A Central Area District with Historic Overlay Number 2 on the southeast corner of Pacific Avenue and North Austin Street, with consideration given to amending Division 51A-7.1007.2 of the Dallas Development Code by eliminating the requirement that the Landmark Commission must determine a supergraphic sign is compatible with the West End Historic District and an ordinance granting the amendments.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation?
Thank you.
No further speakers. No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Kingston.
CPC recommendation.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 33 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding a city council authorized hearing to amend the Purse Building sub-district within the West End Historic Sign District on property zone a CA-2A Central Area District with Historic Overlay Number 2 on the northeast corner of Elm Street and Record Street, with consideration being given to amending Division 51A-7.1007.1 of the Dallas Development Code by eliminating the requirement that the Landmark Commission must determine a supergraphic sign is compatible with the West End Historic District and an ordinance granting the amendments.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 38 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Kingston.
Move to approve the CPC recommendation.
Motion second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Agenda item 34 is a public hearing to receive comments on an amendment to Chapter 16, Dallas Fire Code of the Dallas City Code. 1, decreasing the hourly standby personnel fee. 2, providing a definition of alternative standby personnel. 3, allowing alternative standby personnel to conduct fire watch duties. 4, requiring standby personnel and alternative standby personnel to have a minimum of 2 means of contact for the fire department. And 5, providing minimum qualifications of alternative standby personnel. And at the close of the public hearing, an ordinance granting an amendment to Chapter 16, Dallas Fire Code of the Dallas City Code. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. McGue.
Move approval.
Second.
The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item 8 is a public hearing to receive comments on the FY 2019-20 operating capital and grant and trust budgets. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have to close this? Or?
Yes, a motion to close the public hearing.
We've got a motion and a second. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I want to thank the staff that worked hard at pulling this meeting together. It was done in a professional manner, and I know it took a lot of hours, so I appreciate it so much. I also appreciate Mr. Narvaez for us having a short evening meeting. Thank you. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.
7:13 p.m.